How will Brian Flores fit in to the Minnesota Vikings culture? Who stays? Who goes on defense now? Who could they look to bring in? All that and much, much more. It's your questions on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You like it on 3-1-2-3?
You like it!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Of course, thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day, each and every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Nissan. The only thing more exciting than that big old game is the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. There's only a few days left until the Super Bowl. Are you ready? The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. It's Twitter Wednesday. Usually we do Twitter Tuesday for the alliteration, but obviously something else broke on Monday that I had to talk about on Monday night for Tuesday morning. So instead, we're doing a little bit of a mailbag. A lot of these questions were rendered moot immediately. So thank you all for those of you who asked questions about what happens if they don't get a defensive coordinator. Guess we're not worried about that. But there were some that trickled in about Brian Flores and some that, of course, are still more general than that. So we will answer them. If you have questions for me, you can always ask me at Luke Braun NFL or at Lockdown Vikings on Twitter. I'll either answer on the spot or maybe I'll save it for a show. You can send an email to lockdownvikingspodcast@gmail.com if you have something a little longer, or fill out the Google form in the show notes. That works as well. First question comes from Nolan M., who asks, Flores is a self-proclaimed, very demanding coach. In an interview during his time in Miami, he admits to being hard on his players, adding that he does not tolerate mental mistakes. How do you envision his coaching style fitting into the culture that KOC has instilled? I think this is really interesting, and I could definitely see it being a problem. Obviously, they did a big, long interview. I'm sure they figured out how they feel about that, and they must not be too worried because they pulled the trigger, right? But it is kind of funny. We are a year removed. I mean, this time last year, we were talking about, there was all sorts of stuff like trickling out about how bad Mike Zimmer was and how toxic things were and how he was always super mean. I mean, there have been like four Ty Dunn think pieces about how Mike Zimmer was too hard on his players. And Brian Flores, disciple of Bill Belichick, who was a disciple of Bill Parcells like Zimmer was, it's the same tree and the same philosophies, I think, culture-wise, that, you know, not tolerating mental mistakes. It was a huge talker last year, and not in a good way. But there's also a way to do it and a way not to do it, right? You can be very hard on people, but it can be a tough love thing. And for whatever it's worth, Flores's players swear by him. Just look at what they all tweeted when Brian Flores was fired in Miami. They were irate. I mean, that move really lost the Dolphins the locker room. And I think that was a challenge for Mike McDaniel when he got in. I think he really had to win them back, and he did, and good on him. But for the most part, people love playing for Flores, and I think a lot of NFL players appreciate that, appreciate when you're hard on them. They just have to trust and know that it's coming from a genuine place of wanting you to improve and not just angry, you know, not hatred, which it kind of felt like sometimes, I think, with some of the players for Zimmer, because he sort of lost that trust over the last couple of years. But I think that coaching style is very different from the laid-back kumbaya. I mean, Kevin O'Connell's whole deal was, yeah, we make mistakes, we'll call them out, we'll talk about them, but you're never in trouble, right? Flores definitely takes a different approach, and there's validity to both approaches, and there's no reason that the two can't coexist, but maybe the defense needs one thing, the offense needs the other and stuff. But if there is a clash between these two people sometime in the future, I think we can look at this as a potential reason. Liam says, is it okay to be unreasonably excited about this Flores hire? Absolutely. Always. I feel like he could be great teaching wise and schematic fit wise for young guys like Sean, Asamoah, and Booth, and for vets like Kendricks and Harry. Yeah, I think where I'm landing on this, because I did go back and forth a little bit about, like, is it better to go back to the Zimmer system And I don't mean exactly the Zimmer system. It's different enough with Brian Flores that you don't have to be worried about like repeating old mistakes or whatever. But it's the same framework, the same language, the same system, like the same machine. And that breeds familiarity for guys like Kendricks and Harry that played in that system for years and were trying to learn a new thing. And now they just go back to their old thing. But for somebody like Seen or Booth, well, Seen also learned a lot of that stuff at Georgia. So I think he'll actually be more familiar with this one than he was with the Fangio scheme. So maybe that'll help him in his development. But for somebody like Asamoah or Booth, who, you know, made progress, took steps in the Fangio scheme, yeah, that might mix some things up. So I think it depends on the player for like how this goes. But for those young players like Seen and Asamoah, the heavy blitz style, the just like point and shoot, just here's your, this is what your gap will be, go. I think will be very good for those young guys because it's fairly simple to learn and it requires a lot of quick trigger downhill. And that's kind of what these guys do. And it's what they drafted for. And then on a more like philosophical note, it is always okay to be unreasonably excited in the off season is what the off season is for. Get hype. It's awesome. And when people tell you, yeah, but it won't matter because they don't have the players or because, you know, they're cursed and they're just going to lose in the playoffs anyways. They're just going to lose in the wild card round. Who cares? Don't listen to those people. All right. Those people can pound sand. They just want you to be as sad as they are. They're not worth your time. This is the time where you can absolutely get hype as heck because they cannot lose a game till September. And by that time, all the excitement and stuff will have run its course. And even if they do lose all of their games, if you enjoyed yourself in February, you enjoyed yourself no less if it doesn't pay out. And enjoying yourself is not about it's not a take. It's not that you have to have this good of an opinion of the Vikings to be happy that they did something. And if you're wrong, you're an idiot. No, you enjoyed something. And then if it does go bad, then we'll talk about why and we'll try to figure that out. And then you can have an opinion on what you think needs to happen or whatever. But excitement isn't a prediction and therefore it cannot be proven wrong. Just be happy. Next one comes from Nate, who asked this question literally hours before the news broke. Said, hypothetically, the Vikings do hire Brian Flores. Great news for you, past Nate. Vikings clear cap space for one major defensive signing. In this scenario, who would you target and why? Daron Payne for interior pressure or Jamel Dean for lockdown coverage with one of the boundary CB slots? Jamel Dean for sure. I'd be pretty stoked on him. In general, I think what you're asking is, would you rather prioritize like the front or the corners? And it's the corners with a bullet right now. I mean, the corners is a gigantic emergency. Yes, you need a star. Like you need somebody who can step in and play immediately and play well. And maybe you think that guy's Patrick Peterson. Maybe you don't in this scheme, whatever. If you don't think it's Patrick Peterson, then you need to find someone else, which you can. Jamel Dean is absolutely one of those names. I would be super stoked if Jamel Dean became a Viking. Daron Payne would be awesome though. Like certainly no problem with that. But between those two, I would probably go at the corner. SS7885, who I assume is not a robot, asks, so on D now, who do we think stays and who goes? So I think if they had stayed in the Fangio scheme, I probably would have predicted a little bit more defensive turnover. Guys like Kendricks, I was kind of thinking it might be time that Kendricks went. He had no guaranteed money, and the fit for him was really weird. He had a really weird season. Maybe we don't have to keep Harrison Smith, but contract-wise with Harrison Smith, keeping him at a lower salary makes the most sense for both parties. Go listen to Monday's episode if you don't believe me there. But then guys like Jordan Hicks kind of got overtaken by Asamoah. He always felt like he was going to be gone no matter what. Danielle Hunter was a weird fit with the Fangio thing, but I think he was figuring it out down the stretch, and I would have projected a pretty big kind of return to form in year two there. But going to the Flores thing will sort of be have the same effect because that's a lot closer to what he did in the Zimmer years, which were, of course, amazing. And plus Hunter's contract, getting rid of Hunter's contract is really stupid. The way that it's structured and the way it's been restructured and stuff, it's definitely not the contract to get rid of. And also it's like insanely cheap. The move with Danielle Hunter would probably be to extend him because his contract voids out in 2024. And I don't want him to leave the organization. He should retire a Viking. And that's something to handle in like June, I think. Za'Darius Smith is a very cuttable contract, but again, it's a very efficient deal. $15 million for Za'Darius Smith is like really good value. Look at what the other edge rushers around the league are making. Like, that's really cheap for him, actually. And I don't think that $15 million does more on the open market than it would in securing Za'Darius Smith. So I would do nothing with either of those, regardless of scheme. So I think, yeah, it ups like Harrison Smith and Eric Kendricks' chances to stay. I think it's not great news for someone like Cameron Dantzler, who has just been kind of worked around in so many different schemes and has had to relearn so many different things over his rookie contract. And you can, and I think it's had an impact on his play. But I mean, he's still got a year on his contract, so he'll come into camp and all that. You're not going to like release him. Yeah, I don't know. I think that still has a little bit more to do with what you think those players are still capable of than their scheme fit or their contract or any of that stuff. I've got a whole bunch more questions that I want to get to. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about my new favorite phone game. It is Ultimate GM, Ultimate Football GM. It is perfect for this time of year, this off-season-y. Everybody is doing the mock draft sims and the off-season simulators and stuff. This is exactly what that is. You can build your dynasty, hire the right coaches, do the right player trades, draft your roster, extend players, deal with the salary cap and all that stuff. You can kind of play your own version of the game in a challenging and realistic game world. We at Locked On actually did a whole season this year. And congrats begrudgingly to Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers for taking home the trophy. I'll get you next year. Locked On Vikings listeners at Ultimate Pro Football GM get a 100% free boost to their franchise when you use the promo code Locked On in all caps. That's Locked On in all caps in the game store. So make sure you check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM. Start your dynasty today. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. If all this salary cap stuff scares you, if you're looking at me like I'm completely crazy by saying they don't have to get rid of five defensive players, go to my Patreon page, patreon.com/LukeBronNFL, and watch the first video. It is called The Salary Cap Explained for Adults. The thumbnail says, let's count beans, and we'll count some beans together, and you can learn how the cap works and how things are never really as dire as they look. Moving on, Informe Purpura, who did an awesome thread on the Fangio scheme in Spanish. So you'll have to translate it, but it was very cool. I saw your thread on Twitter. Says, is it better to sign or draft a wide receiver this offseason? So the answer to that will change every offseason for sure. I don't think that philosophically there's one that's like strictly better than the other. But I don't like the free agency wide receivers nearly as much as I like the draft wide receivers this year. Subject to change, I haven't looked too deep into the draft wide receivers. I'm kind of only going on reputation with that. But the free agency wide receiver pool is meh. That said, maybe you're after meh. Maybe meh is just fine. You just need another guy who's about as good as KJ Osborne. And, you know, you just need a compliment to Justin Jefferson. And that's fine. Another question came from Cozy, who asked in the Discord, and I'm going to just answer on the show, who kind of said, like, would you rather have a low volume, high explosiveness field stretcher, DeSean Jackson kind of guy, or a big possession receiver who can be a safety valve and handle more targets? Again, it's like philosophically, I don't know if one's necessarily better than the other, but I guess if all other things are the same, just give me like a guy that can take some pressure off, right? Somebody who can win one-on-ones. That's all I care about. Stylistically, I don't care how you do it, but someone who can win one-on-ones. And therefore punish a team for giving him one-on-ones all day. I think TJ Hockenson can do that. I think on some days KJ Osborne can do that, like in the Colts game, on that big comeback, he could do that. But other days he can't do that. So I want another guy that can be that for the Vikings so that you can't just call like one double 18 and double team Justin Jefferson, leave everybody else one-on-one and win the game, which is a lot of teams beat the Vikings that way. Bad dad joke says, philosophical question. You have a borderline great passing offense and an absolutely terrible defense with many holes. Would it be more impactful to use our first rounder to double down on offense or plug the holes on defense? So this is something that I talk about a lot all draft season. This question is a trap. This question is bait, and you should forget this dichotomy. So bad dad joke, that's my answer to it, is I reject the premise of the question. It is not strictly better to get offense or defense. You can be just as mad that the Vikings took Mike Hughes when Lamar Jackson was on the board, or you can be mad that the Vikings took Laquon Treadwell when Kenny Clark was on the board. Whether a guy is on offense or defense is so zoomed out that you lose like all of the nuance. It's like trying to figure out which mountain is higher from space. You need to zoom in to do that. You can't do that. So who's the better player? Make a decision and don't tell me, oh, all things equal. You know, what if it's an exact tie? Because it never is. There's no such thing as two players who are exactly equal. And when you get down to it on your board, usually when I get to draft time, when the Vikings are on the clock, I'll have a board, I'll have scouted all the players, and my take on it will be, okay, I'm down with any of these five players, right? Usually something like that, depending on how many guys I like. All right, one of these five guys, and if they take someone else, I'll be surprised, I'll be disappointed or whatever. But one of these five guys, for what it's worth, Lewis Seen was on that list for me at pick 14. I thought it was a little rich for pick 14, but once they traded down, I was like, Lewis Seen would be super sick. So I liked that pick on the day. You can even go back and watch my live stream of it. So it's all about who the guy is. Is the player good? Because if you draft a good player, you're really going to stop caring pretty quick about if they were in the wrong position or not. But if you draft the right position and it turns out to be a bad player, you're going to complain about it. Kurt with two C's says, who is the next kicker for your Minnesota Vikings? That's right, Luke. Look at the available kickers. Look at them and pick one. All right, fine. You got me. I am going to the free agency tracker on Over the Cap right now. I'm clicking on kickers. I'm putting exactly this much effort into it, by the way. That's it. Mason Crosby is going to void out. Not into it. Robbie Gold. Robbie Gold is a very good kicker. I'd be super excited about him. If not, let's go with, he is 41, so maybe he'll retire. So if he does that, let's go with Matt Gay for the Rams. I think he had a couple of problems out there, but I will take him over somebody like Brett Maher, who is Yip City right now. Would also take Chase McLaughlin, who was cut by the Vikings many years ago, but he will also be a free agent. There you go. I gave you three to choose from. Gabe says, general roster question. I personally am a huge John Michael Schmitz guy, and retaining Bradbury around 11 mil seems infeasible. If we trade back for Michael Schmitz and manage to get a wide receiver like Hyatt or maybe Addison in the second, would this be neglecting the defense too much? So kind of what I said before, not necessarily if you're super in love with those guys. I have no opinion on those guys. I didn't even know there was a Hyatt in the draft. I'm so early in my process. But what I will say is Brad Spielberger thinks that's more than Bradbury will get. And he's really good at guessing contracts. He's PFF Brad. He says 3 years, 18 mil would be the contract that Bradbury gets, which I'm actually pretty amenable to. As much as I thought he would kind of play out his deal and walk, maybe he does get that contract with the Vikings. Although I still think it takes a market test to arrive at that contract. I still think he's going to hit free agency and then maybe he signs the deal back in Minnesota after that. I don't see that situation getting resolved like before the league year turns over or before the tampering window, but, yeah, sure. Take John Michael Schmitz if you really love him and then you get one of the wide receivers, that's fine. I think you probably, if you do have that draft, you probably went really hard in free agency at corners with the money you didn't spend on Bradbury, right? That's probably how that goes. I have a whole bunch more questions. I'm very excited to talk about because someone asked me about books. So we'll get into that. But first, let me talk to you about Daily Fantasy Made Easy. That is, you know it, it's Prize Picks. Prize Picks is my favorite way to play Daily Fantasy because when you play Daily Fantasy, usually it's, for at least for me, it's because you'll have a take that's like, I think Miles Sanders is going to have a big game, right? And then you put together a roster. But especially in the Super Bowl, it's hard to stand out when you're in a pool of 600,000 people. How about instead just pick like 2 to 6 of your favorite players. And then if they'll do more or less than a prize picks projection, it's you versus the house, not you versus a gigantic pool of people. So head to prizepicks.com and you can win up to 25 times your money. If you nail it, you can also get a 100% deposit match up to $100 with promo code locked on at prizepicks.com or on the Prize Picks app. That's promo code locked on LOCKEDON at prizepicks.com or on the Prize Picks app. I also want to talk to you about Built It is the best tasting protein bar on the planet. Look, we're all still trying to be real good, right? We got our New Year's resolutions going and the cravings are starting to set in. All right. It's been a month and change. It's starting to creep back in on you. But if you get that midnight chocolatey craving, reach for a Built Bar. It's only 130 calories, covered in 100% real chocolate. It will trick your brain into thinking you are eating a candy bar because it tastes like a candy bar. The flavors are ridiculous. It's like churro and cookies and cream. It's unreal. But 17 grams of protein instead. It rules. You can also, if you aren't into the delivery, wait for it to ship, that kind of thing, you got to have it now, go to Sam's Club or Walmart. You can find a box right there on the shelf. But you can still go to built.com and have it delivered directly to your door if you prefer that. That is, once again, built.com. A few more questions here on Twitter Tuesday on the Locked On Vikings podcast. Thanks for making it your first listen of the day. The next one comes from Michelle, who says, I have loved football for as long as I can remember. I want to learn more about the plays. Is there a book out there that you recommend? Thanks for your time. Hoo-hoo, boy, are there some books. Give me a second. For those of you on YouTube, I'm going to pull out some books. Okay, so by the wording of your question, I think that you are looking for more X's and O's type stuff. And for that, a great place to start is The Art of Smart Football by Chris B. Brown and The Essential Smart Football and the Smart Football Books by Chris B. Brown. They do a great job of going over the kind of history of scheme and stuff that I'll talk about. I cite these a lot just because they're ideas in my head now. Stuff like how Belichick and Saban invented pattern matching in the 90s because they were on the Browns and they couldn't beat the Steelers. That kind of story is in here. Similarly, The Genius of Desperation by Doug Farrar. Doug Farrar has a lot of really great books. Kind of can't miss with any of those. That will give you a great orientation into the idea of like how NFL teams are often riding by the seat of their pants. And a lot of the things that we take for granted now, things like cover two, things like throwing the ball, things like read option, were born of moments where guys just didn't have dudes. They just didn't have enough players, whether it was back in the pre-war era and you were at some small college, or things like if you coached for the Browns in the 90s. After that, I recommend things like the Pass Coverage Glossary by Cameron Saran or any book by Bobby Peters, but try to find one that's relevant to your favorite team. I have the 2021 Los Angeles Rams Complete Offensive Manual. This is how I learned a lot about the McVay scheme when Kevin O'Connell got here, learned a lot about the play calls and designs that we saw on Sundays. Any book by Cody Alexander. I don't have any physical copies here, unfortunately. I will get them, though. But anything by Cody Alexander is also great to learn defense, not only like X's and O's, but just like how things are structured and how they think and a little bit more about how things go down on Sundays, not just like in a nerdy X's and O's, here's all the playbooks way, but also like, what do they teach guys? You know, what are the coaching points? What are they trying to accomplish? And you'll pretty quickly realize how silly it is that 99% of the talk about football is about like who got more yards on this play or that play, or who got more yards, but with context. Which is what a lot of analytics boils down to, is, you know, the production on a play, but trying to frame it in more accurate and better correlations and stuff. I hope that was a long enough list for you. If you run through all of them, ask again. I'll give you more. Swift620 asks, what would you do to the O-line this offseason? So that's an interesting one, because I don't think a lot needs to happen. It is already, there's a little bit of buzz. I think it was Thomason said that Ezra Cleveland is likelier than you might think to get an extension. I agree with that, actually. I think I would agree with that as a move. I think Cleveland has taken a step forward every year. You know, his rookie year, he had like 8 disaster games. This year he had 1 or 2, and you still got to get those out, but it's becoming gradually more consistent. And that sort of gradual growth, I have a lot of faith that it continues. He's just a guy that can kind of improve on a lot of things, and he plays very strong and which is very good for a guard, and all of the old tackle habits that really, the kind of thing that like sank Oli Udo, he's well past that stuff. I would love to see Ezra Cleveland stay as left guard. Obviously, Darrisaw and O'Neal should be locked in for as long as he can. I think Ed Ingram played well enough to get a year or two. If you do want to bring in like a Chris Reed style guy and say compete for the starting job, I'm not going to say no to that, but it's, I don't think, a priority. It's really, what do you do at center? And I don't know, maybe you bring back Bradbury on 3 years, 18 mil, 6 mil a year. Maybe you draft someone like John Michael Schmitz. I think there's a lot of options out there. There are a couple of free agent centers that I wouldn't mind seeing them bring in. But like the same five coming back for 2023 is not that unlikely a scenario. Maybe you change the center, but I don't think anything else changes. Nolan asks, do you think people will know Kirk hit the receiver in the chest on 3rd and 8 or just listen to the media and have no idea? Nolan asks, do you think people know Kirk hit the receiver in the chest on 3rd and 8 or just listen to the media and have no idea? Are you talking about at the end of the Giants game? I would assume. Because everybody's talking about the 4th and 8, but the 3rd and 8, it was a pretty good pass and Osborne couldn't bring it in. Although I don't think Kirk was very happy with it. If I remember him on the podium later, he called that a miss of himself. I could be misquoting. I can't remember how accurate I thought that one was either, but either way, I haven't heard about the 4th and 8 except, I guess, tangentially from this question in a few weeks. So I think that one's kind of dissolving. And I think most people who seriously broke down that game kind of understood that Kirk Cousins did a very good game in that playoff game. And while that last play was not good, the rest of the game was far from his fault. And I think most people and the Vikings themselves with their actions very clearly are correctly pinning that game on the defense. I don't think we have to worry about that too much. Malcolm Biggles says, if you could add a Pokemon to the Vikings in any role, player, coach, FO, which would it be and what role would they have? Okay, there's a whole bunch of ways that would basically make it impossible for you to lose ever, but I'm thinking Alakazam as a coordinator because he sees the future. So, like, literally can see how the future plays out. So that seems like a pretty good play calling advantage. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I'm sure you could do something like get like a Rillaboom or some big, you know, something with hands that's big and give it the ball every play and say you can never tackle this thing. That's one thing. I'm going to guess like flyers are out because like Pelipper would have obviously just give the ball to a Pelipper. He flies over the whole team every time and that's it. But I'm going to guess that would probably be outlawed pretty quickly. So something like that, or I guess you could also do something like an Alakazam, but using teleport. Teleporting seems good in an NFL context. There's like a million ideas. I probably don't have enough time to get into them. Leave one in the comments on YouTube. How you would break football. Chris says, imagine there are two identical copies of you. One has to block Danielle Hunter and the other has to cover Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins sees these matchups pre-snap and know that both are effectively unblocked. Does he complete the pass or does he check into a run? He super throws hot for sure. You just treat it as unblocked, right? Like if I'm out there against Danielle Hunter, you just consider Danielle Hunter an unblocked player. And there is a system in place for when there's an unblocked player. So you slide the protection away. And deal with everybody else. You have a running back leak out over Danielle Hunter. You throw it over his head. That's definitely it. Maybe that is that hot is to Justin Jefferson, who also gets to run a route against me. So he'll probably get open pretty quickly. And even in the timing that a hot route requires, which is pretty fast, he could probably be open and down the field pretty quick because I'm not going to keep up with him or contest that. So you could just play pitch and catch with a hot route. It's absolutely that. You check into a run and Danielle Hunter is going to blow it up every time. Thank y'all again for watching and or listening to the Locked On Vikings podcast. We will be back tomorrow. I might want to get a little deeper on Brian Flores stuff. Maybe I'll talk some contract stuff. I think we got to talk about Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith. I'm seeing too many insane takes about those two guys. So maybe we have to have that conversation. I don't know. We'll figure something out. For whatever it is, I'll see you then. And as always, Skull.